Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning. Welcome to this edition of Atlanta Business Radio, powered by Business Radio X. I'm your host, Alex Gossett Shiflett, and we have a very special guest in our studio today. But before we get started, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X. Also, today's show, Atlanta Business Radio, you can follow us at Atlanta Biz Radio. And you can connect with me personally on Twitter at Alex G. Shiflett. Love to hear from you, and you can check out our pictures of our guest. Okay, well, I would like to introduce our guest today, Mr. Bill Jones. He is Vice President of Tech Operators. In his 25-year career, Bill has gained extensive experience in executive, product, and marketing leadership roles with both startups and large technology companies. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Okay, tell us a little bit about, or help our paint a picture for our audience about who you are and your business.
Oh, very good. Sure. I've been in the Atlanta high-tech scene for almost 30 years. Long history of basically all software. I guess we'll get into that a little bit later, but I joined Tech Operators about a year ago. Tech Operators is an Atlanta-based venture capital firm. We are an early stage fund. We invest in early stage companies, primarily in the business-to-business software area and the cybersecurity area.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about the history of Tech Operators and how did you get involved?
Sure thing. So our fund started in 2008, which was a very interesting time to actually raise funds to create a venture capital, given the economy at that time. But we're 7 years into it. There are four founders of the firm there, and I'm the fifth person of the firm. Saeed Mohammedian, Glenn McGonigal, Dave Gould, and Tom Noonan are the four founders of Tech Operators. The firm is very different in the sense that all five of us are operators. We are technology company, software company operators. We're not really kind of bankers, financial types. We've got a few statistics. Collectively, we've spent more than 50 years as CEOs of software companies, 10 different private and public companies. Our companies have been backed by more than 25 venture funds. We've raised almost $500 million in funding.
Wow.
We've created $2.6 billion in shareholder value and three IPOs. We have served on the boards of more than 30 companies, and we've employed more than 6,000 people in 55 countries. So in other words...
That's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. So in other words, when we're talking to other software company leaders, people who are founding and growing software companies, we've been there. We know what you're talking about. We know what you're going through. And we kind of know some of the twists and turns in the road that you're going to be facing in the future. That gives us, as venture funding partners, a unique perspective. And I think that is highly valued by the companies and founders that we back. And it also shows in our results.
Right. Well, tell me, what is happening in Atlanta's technology scene today?
I find it very encouraging. There is a natural ebb and flow in any economic cycle. You know, the economic cycle in the tech scene, you know, rises and falls with the economy. The reason that I'm excited and encouraged is that there's organic strength building in the Atlanta tech scene. You've got some really neat incubators. ATDC's been around for a while, and they're doing some great stuff, new leadership down there. Flashpoint, Atlanta Tech Village has infused kind of a new sense of energy. We have Switchyards helping consumer. software companies get started. TechStars, which is a national program, is opening up in Atlanta later this year. We have some capital active funds like Tech Operators. We've made 15 investments over the last 7 years. Mosley Ventures, Atlanta Ventures, Fulcrum, Vocap, Tech Square Ventures. On the angel scene, Atlanta Technology Angels.
What is Atlanta Technology Angels?
It's a group of primarily wealthy people who want to diversify their portfolio by investing in early stage software companies. And so, you know, you've got ATA, you've got the AIM Group out of Alabama that invests regularly in Atlanta-based companies. And we've even seen a good number of West Coast VCs, Andreessen, Kleiner, Battery. They've all made recent investments in Atlanta. But organically beyond that, there's just simply more people now that have been through it. And so the collective experience of the community is growing. That really, really, really helps new entrepreneurs. The last thing I'll say is there's some really good new initiatives happening at Georgia Tech and Emory around the commercialization of some of the technology and innovation spinning out of the universities.
Can you share some of that with us? What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, you can see it. I'm most familiar, you know, Emory's doing a lot in the healthcare area, but I'm more familiar with it at Georgia Tech around Tech Square. They have a CreateX lab, and it's a 12-week course where students found a company and get it going. And it's I was a judge for it about 9 months ago. Absolutely cool.
So they created a company.
Yeah, 20-year-old kids are.
Can you tell us about the company they created? I'm just curious.
No, they created each, there were like two or three people per team, and they created like 10. There were a couple of really cool. You know, one of them, I guess, did this 2 years ago, recently got some funding called Gimme Vending, called Gimme.
Gimme.
and they are trying to bring some innovation to vending machine management and inventory supply for vending machines by replacing clunky Windows CE-based handheld inventory units with an iPad Bluetooth connection to the vending machine. You know, that's just an example. There were some really cool ones. You know, there was a company that was innovating by, they learned how to breed this certain type of black fly.
Really?
And they converted it, and they learned how to mill the larva into chicken feed.
What?
it was a better protein source, better fat than typical chicken feed. It was very green because they created it. They fed the larva from old restaurant waste. Really cool stuff. There was a company that was basically building a power strip for electric vehicle charging. So instead of, you know, one high electrical line per car, right? You would take the one electrical line and then you would distribute it to like 6 or 8 or 10 different cars. And it would cycle the current between the cars efficiently and be able to charge multiple cars on the same physical drops of the line. It was really cool stuff.
And you were a judge. So yeah, you picked, there was a winner, I'm assuming?
In this case, there was not a winner. They basically got some notoriety. They got some advice. They got great experience.
Which idea won?
There wasn't a winner in that one.
There wasn't a winner.
Yeah. You know, I am also, I'll put a plug in for, I'm part of the committee for the Technology Association of Georgia called the Growth Task Force. But we basically put on the TAG business launch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is a program that's been running for more than 10 years now. Where applications are open right now for companies to apply. We last year we had, you know, it's like 118 different companies apply, and it is a competition. You come through it and you compete, you pitch, you get judged, you move on to the next round or not. We have a pretty active mentoring program. I think it's May 3rd is the final event. The winner gets a $50,000 check.
Wow.
Non-dilutive funds, which is really, really great for entrepreneurs. A big suite of services, legal marketing services and stuff like that. And then a lot of companies get mentored mm-hmm. out of the process. And I think it's a very, very worthwhile program. That's right. All happening right now.
Going back to technology for just a second, we were just talking about this on an earlier show, how much things have changed just even within the last 5 to 10 years. What is one of the biggest changes that you've seen in technology from, let's say, today as opposed to 10, 15 years ago?
One thing is that to create a software company nowadays requires so much less capital.
Why is that?
Because the tools are better. Hosting services are prevalent and cheap. And so you have an idea, you can prototype it, get it hosted, get it live. You can start doing some trial marketing and get some customers quick for many ideas, quickly and $10,000. You can get something going.
As opposed to what would it have been 5 years ago?
10 years ago, you'd had to create your own, you'd buy your own hardware, set your own servers up. You'd have to pay for communications, bandwidth, and $10,000 would have gotten you a couple of servers, right? But you're just getting started at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The technology tools, the prototyping tools, you can run so much faster nowadays. And so you end up, there's a lot of junk out there, not well thought through.
Right.
And that's unfortunate, but you also see that, bright people are able to do important kind of necessary trial and error kind of work. And I think it's fabulous. The pace of innovation, particularly in software, is much higher because as a result of it.
Okay. What is some advice for technology entrepreneurs today?
It's very tempting to stay behind the keyboard. Sit down at the desk, start banging out stuff. It's really tempting because it's comfortable, right?
Right.
My advice is get out from behind the desk. You've got to go talk to people. Tell them your idea. Don't build as much. Go build a prototype, be able to communicate what you're trying to do, but get out to people and listen. Don't sell. Don't sell your idea. Explain it and see what their reaction is. Listen to them. There are a lot of people out in the Atlanta community today you can find to listen to your idea and give you advice. They actually have experience and frankly want to share it.
And why do you think people have a hard time with that? Is it because we are so, in our heads connected with, Facebook, Twitter, everything, and that one-on-one contact with another person is becoming sort of a rare occasion?
It is. It is. And I tell people all the time, it's amazing to me, the young people that will, text somebody instead of picking up the phone and calling them. I remind people that that iPhone you have, it's amazing. You can press like three or some buttons. The other end, they can actually talk to you in real time. You can hear their voice. It's amazing. It's a great app. I call it an app, right? People buy stuff from people. So I think there's a lot to be learned from getting out. From behind the keyboard, meeting people, looking them in the eye. One reason people don't like doing that is entrepreneurs, the creative thing is fun. You're sitting there creating. It's fun. You're in your own head. You've fallen in love with this idea. You do not see beyond the natural assumptions you are making. Well, of course they're going to like this. And of course you'd pay for this. But
in their mind, they're thinking.
In
that.
Their mind, they don't even think that was a problem. Mm. Of course, somebody would pay for that, right? Well, the problem is it's kind of scary to get out there and be told, are you kidding me? I'm not going to pay for that. I didn't understand that. What do you mean you didn't understand that? Of course there's a need there. I don't have that need, and that's not fun to hear. Entrepreneurs have to be amazingly enthusiastic and optimistic. Otherwise, it's really hard. You'd never do it.
Right.
You'd never start a company if you weren't stupidly optimistic. But entrepreneurs, it stinks to hear, oh, it's not going to be that easy. So you avoid putting yourself in those situations. You stay behind the keyboard, have fun in your sandbox. Unfortunately, that's not how great companies are often built.
Because then you miss out on what the client, the customer, is really thinking.
Yeah, yes. That's right. And a lot of times it's these nuanced, oh man, I would have never thought that they didn't understand this, or wow, they're not even getting to the problem that I'm trying to address. They have this other problem. And so all of a sudden you realize that I'm solving the wrong problem here, but there is another problem here I can address. That's the kind of stuff you get I'll also say with prototypes and metrics. You must metric everything. It's just a way of getting out there and trying and trying and trying and learning and learning and learning. That's the biggest advice.
Right. And, I think in the future, that's even, I would say it's going to become harder for some people because, for example, my son is 15 and he doesn't like to talk on the phone to anybody. He wants to text.
Right.
Email to them, my children, that's old.
That's what old people do.
That's what old people do with email is out. If we have a group of young people coming up that have this idea in their head that that's the best way to communicate, like you just mentioned, entrepreneurs are going to have to take steps and actually force themselves to put down the screens and go out and talk.
I think you learn that over time, particularly if you're raising money. You've got to go. You've got to get out there and pitch and pitch and pitch and pitch and pitch. And you're doing those pitches in person.
Right.
The people that are investing as much in you as they are in the idea and the business execution you've done to date. They want to know you, and they want to look you in the eye. They want to ask you hard questions and see how you think. So you got to get out.
And you have to be social. You have to be able to read cues. If you're, pitching something to a customer and you've got to be able to read expression and, a lot of things that you can't do, on the phone or by texting.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. What are some of the best resources or events for people interested in the technology scene in Atlanta?
Yeah. So, I mentioned the Tag Business launch that's coming up in early May. I think it's a really good show. We're not doing a semifinals this year. So it's, I think they're going to see like 10 companies pitch. And these are going to be kind of curated, the best pitches in Atlanta. There's a Startup Riot that's coming up in May, I think, also. Venture Atlanta is probably the preeminent startup showcase here in Atlanta. Get involved at ATDC, ATV, the Atlanta Tech Village, has got us just a series of meetups. I think it's there's a monthly, grab a beer and listen to entrepreneurs kind of thing. So you end up, if you want to learn what's going on in Atlanta, hover around these types of organizations. You'll end up rubbing shoulders with other people, meeting people. I went through Flashpoint as a startup myself. One of the most valuable parts of that experience was actually meeting the other entrepreneurs in my cohort, sharing the war stories and, look at all that scar tissue.
And how did that help you?
When you're starting a company, you're in siege mentality. You've got way too much to do. You have to be incredibly optimistic, and yet you're getting faced with, you know, no, I don't have that data, and I don't have that revenue, and my wife is really mad at me because I'm not earning enough money, and, you know, it's a very, very tough time.
So having a support group is kind of...
Yeah, it's almost like a support group.
Yeah.
But you also, because they're going through the same types of pressures oftentimes, you know, you get tips, tricks from your peers. So I think it's a really, really healthy thing to do. But again, you know, don't just sit there on the couch and talk about how hard this is. You get out there and, you know, run around with other people. There, you know, ask people what books they read. Mm-hmm. There's some really important books that are out there right now.
What are some books that you could recommend?
If you're doing a B2B startup, you got to read Predictive Revenue, which is basically a book about a sales model, a model to reach customers in a very scalable, cost-effective way using today's technologies. There is a couple of startup books. Eric Ries has got some books. Minimum Viable Product Philosophy, you should read that. You should read, if you're doing a SaaS-based business, you should look up some blogs. There's some David Skoke has got some stuff out there on unit metrics that everybody's going to ask you what your cost of customer, your CAC is. They're going to ask you what your LTV is. They're going to ask you to, you know, your churn. You got to know what those are. You got to really know what those are. What are the mathematical formulas behind those things? Because everybody's going to ask you that. And they're going to ask you that because they're fundamental, you know, scaling a SaaS business. There's some really good blogs. There's one by Thomas Tungas of Redpoint Ventures that I find very interesting. Just subscribe to that stuff. But ask other entrepreneurs what they find useful.
Right. Good advice. Okay, I got a high-low question for you. What is the best part of your job, and what is the worst part of your job?
The most exciting part of my job is talking to new companies about what they're doing. That's fun. You get exposed to a lot of innovative things. These are people who are by their nature action oriented. They're smart. They're ambitious. And those are fun people to talk to. Worst part of my job. Worst part of my job. Oh, you know, I guess the worst part of my job is the part where, you know, you've got to put everything down on paper, and, you know, so the paper trail gets long, and I don't like the whole legal language stuff, but it's important.
Sounds like it's time consuming.
It's time consuming and it's tedious. You have to paper the deal, right? And so... You know, and, you know, that's no good. And it's also not good when you make an investment and the company's not doing well. And so you have to make changes and, you know, either pivot the company, you know, management team changes. You know, that's not fun. But, we are all, as a VC, we have to protect the interests of our investors. Those things are not fun. It's super fun. On the other hand, when you make an investment and the company's knocking it out of the park, that's really fun.
Then that's
like, oh man, can we put more fuel in this motor?
That's the payoff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Bill, what do you like to do on your off time when you're not working?
Well, I have two teenage daughters, so keeping up with them is quite fun. It's very, very challenging to be. To be a good dad to teenage daughters. Lots of drama.
Yes. I have a teenage daughter myself. I know. we can
have a bonding moment on that. But I love the enthusiasm and stage of life that they're in. So I love being a dad with them. I'm looking forward to going to their performance in this High School Musical. I like to cook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
I enjoy cooking and I like getting out on the Atlanta Beltline and hanging out with all the people trying to keep their New Year's resolutions up.
Nice. Okay, Bill, how can people get in touch with you at Tech Operators?
Yeah, I mean, the website on the email address on the website is info@techoperators.com. I'll look at those.
Okay.
You know, I suggest that first and foremost, rather than just dropping a phone call to us. We answer all of our email. Okay. So it's just a more convenient way because we're in and out of meetings a lot. And so the chance of actually getting us on the phone is less. So start with an email. We'll get back to you and we will tell you if, you know, it makes sense to talk again, you know, or not. There are certain things that we are looking for. You know, do not do seed stage investing. So if all you've got's a napkin with some scribbles on it, we won't invest. We may meet with you and give you some advice, our 2 cents. But I mean, you know, we are most interested in talking to early stage companies that have some revenue traction, fit our investment profile, which is, you know, again, in cybersecurity and in B2B software, business-to-business software.
Okay. Well, Bill Jones, Vice President of Tech Operators, thank you so much for being here today with us. And if your business is doing something exciting and you would like to be featured on Business Radio X, reach out to us on the contact page at businessradiox.com. All right, my friends, thank you for listening. I'm Alex Gossett-Shiflett, your hostess with the mostest. And as always, I'm wondering who will be my next guest on Business Radio X.